RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our California correspondent is Kate Dunbar of katescuriouskitchen.com. Kate is a chef, food stylist, food photographer, and published food writer. She is also a passionate traveler who loves to explore California in her Airstream with her husband, mother, two children, and fabulous chandelier awning lights. She is also a vintage trailer enthusiast who owns a 1962 Shasta Airflight SC.
Hi, Kate. Welcome back to Campground of the Week.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Jeremy. Thank you for having me back.
We are thrilled to have you back.
Last time you were on Campground of the Week, on episode number 11, you reviewed Ventura Ranch KOA, which is a phenomenal destination in California where you can catch stunning sunsets. Where are you taking us to this week?
This week, I'm taking you to Lake Lopez, which is located in San Luis Obispo County in the town of Arroyo Grande.
Now, situate us along the coast of California.
Well, Lake Lopez Campground is located in San Luis Obispo County in the town of Arroyo Grande, California. And if you're traveling on the 101 north, it's about 184 miles north of Los Angeles. And if you're traveling on the 101 south, it's about 254 miles south of San Francisco.
Now, I'm an English teacher, and my math works this way. So we could say it's about halfway between San Francisco and L.A.?
Just about.
English
exactly.
teacher math.
Okay.
Okay.
Exactly.
So whether you're from Northern California or Southern California, this is a destination that you can get to.
Absolutely. This is what you would call the heart of the central coast of California, right in the middle.
All right, so the heart of the Central Coast, why am I going to stay at Lake Lopez when I'm visiting that area?
You will want to stay here, one, for the experience of being at one of California's lakes that's surrounded all around a canyon. You drive in about 10 miles east from Arroyo Grande, and you drive over the dam, and it opens up into this lush, golden California scenery. There's oak trees sprinkled all over the mountain. There's hiking trails that you can see from the drive-in. And then there's this beautiful, full recreational lake. So you can swim in it, boat in it, water ski in it, jet ski in it, sail, windsurf, and do some champion fishing in that lake as well.
All right, so now I know where I am on the California coast. I know why I want to stay here because of all these great water sports. What kind of campground is this? Is this a private campground, a public campground?
No, this is the San Luis Obispo County Parks Division campground. So you have about 350 campsites, everything from event rental to dry camping to tent camping to back in and pull through sites. You have the whole picture right there.
And Kate, what is our price range for camping at Lake Lopez?
anywhere between $10 and $45 a day, whether you're tent camping or camping in your trailer.
Now, we call that bargain here.
It is. That's it is a big bargain because there aren't any discounts, you know, Good Sam and all that. That doesn't portray here. But the value of being really out in the wilderness, out in the coastal yet inland area of California with all the wilderness and wildlife that's there, it's unbelievable.
So what kind of activities, amenities am I going to find here at this campground?
Well, get ready. There's a really long list. And remember, this is just here at this campground, not outside of it. So you have the water recreation. So you can fish for crappie, red-eared sunfish, large and smallmouth bass, catfish. Some have caught 25-pound catfish in the past couple months. So there's some really big ones.
Ooh, you could have a good fish fry.
I know. And if you remember from episode 11, the Fillmore Fish Hatchery that I was talking about, those fish restock this lake.
Oh, so the life cycle.
Thank you,
there's,
fish.
There you go. So then now there's windsurfing. You can swim out in there. You can water ski. I learned how to water ski on that lake. There's playgrounds. There's an event area with big barbecue pits area. There's even a water park at this lake. And there's a ropes course and zip line park.
So the kids aren't going to get bored here.
Not a chance. Not a chance. There's a lot to do, but the hiking trails that they have there are fantastic. But some of the park rangers offer hikes and classes, and some of them are free.
Kate, this is a really reasonable price, and you just mentioned ton of activities. Do all of those other activities cost additional fees, or do you have to pay or get tickets for them?
You will have to pay for the water park, the ropes course, and the zip line. And they're very reasonable. They're anywhere between $10 and $25. The boats, which is great. You don't have to have a boat to go camping here and enjoy the lake. You can go to the marina that's right there, and you can rent a boat. You can rent everything from water skiing boats to small fishing boats to house boats with barbecues that are on it and slides where it's two stories, so the kids can go zipping off the slide while mom or dad are, you know, making up the burgers for the day. It's perfect. They even have jet skis now, too, that you can rent. And I believe they have kayaks as well.
Now, Kate, you said that you learned how to water ski here. So does that mean that you camped here as a child?
I did. This was one of the campgrounds that I would stay at with my grandparents in their Airstream. So it's like going back home. It's on the campsite that I prefer to stay in is the exact same campsite that I stayed in with them. So it's a real good home feeling for me.
That is totally adorable.
It really is.
It
We're
is.
Both it's sighing fine. Over here.
Your grandparents in their Airstream. So you park your Airstream in the same site that they used to camp on?
Yes.
Okay. Aww, that may be the best moment yet on RVFTA's campground of the week.
So it's gone full circle. It's a lot of fun, and it brings back a lot of family memories. And I learned a lot at this lake, and to bring back in the amount of wildlife that's there. I learned tracks of different animals. I learned what different snakes in California look like, because back in the hills, when you go hiking, you see them. I learned how, you know, fun raccoons can be to watch what they do to the surrounding area when they see marshmallows, because they love them. And it's just, I learned about birds. I learned about fish. I learned about wildflowers. Everything is right there at that destination.
Would it be fair to say that this campground kind of gives you a taste of an older California?
It does. It's kind of the California rancho days, where there were the working ranches and, you know, just the getaway where maybe you couldn't afford to, say, go travel to Hawaii or go to Mount Rushmore, go do those kind of things, go to Florida, go to New York, and you wanted to go camping and you really wanted it to be that experience that, you know, Tiffany's just threw diamonds in the sky at night, because there aren't any town lights and the stars are just right there in front of you. And now that I'm you know, playing with photography. I can't wait to go back because I have a brand new lens and I really want to sit there with time lapse and check it out and see, you know, how much light can I pull? How much light can I take away to just experience all that? And you can see the Milky Way and you can see shooting stars. And if you were trying to teach your kids all about astronomy, this is a fantastic campsite to go to.
I'd love to see some pictures of your Airstream underneath a starry California sky.
I know, me too. Is, you know, I would love to be able to do it, not collapse because it's just perfect and I'm so tired. You
know what I mean? Well, that's your photography challenge for 2016. Right. How about that?
It is. It is. I will put that on the list of to-dos. Stars at night, Airstream background. Okay.
Now, you gave us all that romantic, dreamy information, but a little more bare bones practical. Are there hookups here?
There are. The highest that this goes is 30 amp. So for all of us who have 50 amps, you need to make certain that you have your step down with you. That's for certain. And they do have full hookup sites, sewer, electrical, water.
Oh, that's terrific at that price.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the last time I was there, I was with Sisters on the Fly and I had the Vintage with me and I had full hookups and I think I paid about $36 a night.
Now, this is an older campground. Are the sites small, made for RVs from 50 years ago? Or how do you do getting your Airstream's 30 foot, right?
My Airstream's 30 feet and I have to call ahead and tell them, hey, I've got the Airstream. I want the pull through and it can get a little tight in there. If you have a trailer that's over 30 feet and you don't get a pull through and you know that you have to back in, please be very good at it and really know your communication well with your person who's helping guide in, because like I said, there are 100-year-old oak trees there that are very large, that have very long branches, that offer amazing shade during the summer, because it can get up to 100 degrees easily there. And all that shade is what's necessary, but some of them are tight. And the great layout of this campground is that each of the campground areas are in one cluster area along the southeast shore of the lake. And when you drive in, some of them are terraced. They didn't cut away the land. They used the topography to their benefit. So sometimes, like on the one that I prefer, which is Quail, there's a lower portion and there's an upper portion of it. So you kind of have to be good at backing in going up a hill. And if you're not, that's something that you need to really ask, where is this site? Is there an incline or is it flat?
Now, Kate, what you're saying here is something that we really can't emphasize enough with our listeners. Call the campground, right?
Call them.
The person who's taking the reservation. Tell them what you have. Tell them what you're looking for. Because all of those internet sites, all of those reservation maps, they can't really give you the nitty-gritty that you're giving us right now. And that's
exactly
important.
And there's one great thing about this. Because it's part of the California parks, and only because I do camping there, I don't know about other states. With this one specifically, when you log on to their website to make your reservation and you click the description of it, you get to see a image of that campsite. So you can look at it kind of beforehand and figure out, oh, will that pop out work on this side or will it not over here? Or, oh, it looks a little small here, so I'm not going to bring the full kitchen, the outdoor one. I'll just bring the barbecue this time. You can kind of prep yourself beforehand.
That's terrific. We really think that every campground should have that. It's just so easy to do at this point to get those
photos. It helps. It really, really helps, especially when you have two or three people joining you and you all want an area around you. You want it convenient to walk back and forth to the campsites.
Excellent. So you just gave us a bunch of great insider details. Anything else that would fall under insider details to help somebody enjoy their stay here?
I would say if you were going to do a great camping, here's my personal favorite campsite. So I'm giving away my little gem, and it would be Quail 40. Campsite Quail 40 and Campsite Quail 41. Those two have a humongous oak tree that sits right in the middle of them, far in the back. The branches reach completely over both campsites, and you can pull in a 30-foot trailer. If you're good at backing up a little bit of a grade, it's perfect. And it can handle pop-outs, not a problem, the slide-outs. And even better is that the hookups, the electrical and the water, are tucked really far back in that campsite. So you can pull your trailer back as far as you can, or I should say push it back as far as you can, so you can get the optimal amount of space. Awnings are perfect. Even if you had a really tall fifth wheel, they can fit.
Kate, as an Airstream owner, I'm impressed that you know what a slide out is.
Yeah, you know. Actually, I mean, my husband and I, when we looked at all different trailers, that was a feature that was really interesting to us. We really were looking at that. And then, you know, well, shiny silver got us.
Yeah, so. you went for design over function there. I get it. Now, Kate, if those sites are booked the next time you call, do mm-hmm. not blame us. Do not call Campground of the Week and say, I shouldn't have given up my insider tip.
I should have looked it up, but in Quail as well, up towards the top, it might be number 38, 36 or 38. One of those is a pull through. So if you have a 36 to a 40 foot trailer, get that one. The bathrooms are like right behind you, which is fantastic. It's up on the hill. And, it has a really great fire ring. Whichever one that pull through is in Quail, get
okay. it. Okay, pull through in Quail. And when you're talking to your reservationist on the phone, you'll be able to tell them that. Now, exactly. When should we go to this campground? What is the best time of the year to visit?
Spring is amazing because all the oak trees are regenerating all of their leaves again, and it's beautiful, and all the wildflowers are in bloom. So you get the lupin, you get the Indian broom, you get the California poppies all over the place, you get the sage. And October is a really great time too, because that's just the start of fall and the leaves sprinkle down at night, so you kind of get that little tinkling sound on the top of your trailer, and it's beautiful during that time. Summer is fantastic if you want to go and you want to experience heat and everything and water activities. Go during the summer, but no, you will be using your air conditioner. So if you do have a 50 amp and you have to step it down to 30, be cautious. Just remember, you have to, there's some give and take with that.
Now, Kate, you've painted a picture of a Garden of Eden to me in a certain sense, but we here at RVFTA know that there's no such thing as a perfect campground. So what could be improved here within reason?
I would say if they could do the addition of a few 50 amp service hookups, that would be fantastic. And their pay showers that are there, because it's a county park. Yeah, that, you know, yeah.
Doesn't
that
bring you back to your childhood?
That brings me back to my childhood.
Carrying quarters to the shower is nobody's favorite thing to do.
No,
My guess is they could maybe charge $2 more and give you a free shower.
I'm thinking that would be fantastic. And to make it needs some sprucing up. But you know what? I've used them. I'm not going to, you know, say no, because when I go in my vintage, I don't have a shower in my vintage. I have a little water closet, but I don't have a shower. So I try and push it to like the last day, you know, because you don't want the mosquito bite. So smell like smoke, smell like everything. So it's fine. It keeps them away from biting you, because there are mosquitoes out there. I definitely will say it. You're on water. You're going to get them. And, you know, just wear really good flip-flops, please. Don't wear bare feet. That's gross.
But you have to remember, like you said, you have full hookups at this campground. So you do not have to use those bathhouses if you don't want to.
Unless if the kids have been playing in one of the camp, you know, one of the playgrounds, and water balloon fights go off, which is really fun to watch when that happens, and they're all muddy and sandy. Yeah, you don't want that in your trailer. Go pay the dollar and hose them down there and then bring them back to your trailer.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for that amazing review of Lake Lopez Campground. I will also say thank you for the suggestion for flip-flops, and point everyone to your recommendations on our holiday gear guide.
That's
back in
right.
December, where you recommended your favorite flip-flops, right?
I did. And I have to say, I wore mine with pride. It was great.
This is the perfect place for them. Now, we are going to be back in a minute to talk about all of the amazing activities and attractions around Lake Lopez Campground. Talk to you in a minute.
Fun and family. It's what Jayco has been focused on for generations. from the first camping trailer that rolled off the production line on founder Lloyd Vontrager's farm in 1968 to today, when Jayco, now the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is building everything from camping trailers up to gas Class A motorhomes.
With a blend of old world Amish craftsmanship and innovative technology, Jayco builds more value into their RVs than any other manufacturer in the industry, with more standard features and the best 2-year warranty offered. Visit Jayco's website at jayco.com or your closest Jayco dealer for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're here with Kate Dunbar from katescuriouskitchen.com. And before we move on to regional highlights around the Lake Lopez campground, we forgot to ask you, Kate, how do you book a site here?
Booking a site's really easy. Just go on to www.slocountyparks.org.
And when should people do that in order to secure a site here? Do they book up far in advance, or when should they go on to make reservations?
Holiday weekends, definitely book as quickly as you can because they do fill up. But if I wanted to go, see, it's you know, in the beginning of the week, if I wanted to go camping this weekend, I went on earlier this evening and I was able to pull up a good campsite.
Ooh, so okay, good. So you can also do last minute.
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. So I am camping at Lake Lopez Campground. I have done all of the boating. I have done fishing. I have spotted wildlife. What kind of wildlife am I spotting?
From the California bears to deer to mountain lions to wild turkeys, raccoons, possums, skunks, snakes, wild birds, butterflies during the migration, and pretty much everything in between. I will put a warning out with the raccoons, though, only because it happened to me. The last time I was there, they were a little frisky. I don't know if it was the season or whatever, but I had some doing like the moronga on the top of my vintage trailer, and I had my vent open, and I forgot that I had like some cookies sitting on my counter. And when I looked up at my vent, there was a raccoon face right there trying to figure out how he could get through the screen into my trailer. So please keep your doors closed. Please watch your screens. Make certain that everything's closed up tight because those little critters, they can get in.
Are you suggesting that the raccoons at the Lake Lopez campground are into vintage trailers?
I don't know, but they love the marshmallows that all of us had around the campsite. And one raccoon crawled onto the back of one of my fellow sisters on the fly and took the marshmallow right out of her graham cracker. Literally, it was on her back with its little paws.
Ooh!
Yeah, it was a moment.
That's a moment. Now, I have to admit, I'd break into Kate's Airstream if I was camping with Kate's Curious Kitchen, but that's a topic for a whole nother day. So
oh, yeah.
I've had my fill of wildlife, and now I want to get away from the campground and explore the region around it. What am I going to do, Kate?
Well, about 10 to 15 minutes away is the gorgeous Pismo Beach area. So you have everything from ocean and sand dunes and amazing restaurants right there at your hand. It's right there.
So Pismo Beach, is it a swimming beach, sand beach?
Sand beach. And the great part about that is it's actually a dune beach. So you have the big sand dunes and you can drive out on the beach. If you have a car that'll get you out there, you can. You can rent sand dune buggies. You can rent ATVs and you can go play in the sand all day long.
Lots of good food around this area, right?
Amazing food. Fabulous fresh seafood. Great Italian food in this town. But there are two of my favorite places to go. One of them has been there for years and years and years, and it's called the Old West Cinnamon Roll. And let me tell you, the line is around the corner. Every day during the summer, you will stand in line for up to 45 minutes to get these gigantic palm-sized thick, yeasty, warm cinnamon rolls with this gorgeous, unctuous cream cheese frosting with lemon bits in it. Or you can get the ones that have toasted pecans and raisins. They have a bunch of different ones.
Now, we'll have to have an East Coast, West Coast smackdown because I have a campground here on the East Coast that I think serves the best cinnamon roll
ever. I'm in for that one. You
like
can
an intergalactic smackdown.
Totally.
We'll trade cinnamon rolls. All right. And then
Here's something funny. I'm going to be there in a few weeks when the Pismo Beach Vintage Trailer Show happens, and I'll go in there and take a picture and send it to you.
Ooh, can't wait. I'll just have to imagine eating it.
We might as well say now that Kate is going to be reporting from the Pismo Beach Vintage Trailer Rally for our other podcast.
I can't wait.
I know. We can't either. Very exciting stuff. So what about the seafood? What's the best place to get seafood?
I hands down, Cracked Crab. This is a family-owned restaurant that, I mean, if you want some of the best fish tacos, they're there. They're clam chowder, creamy, beautiful, homemade, not a stitch of sand, and just rich. It's so perfect to warm you up on one of those cold days. And they have one of my favorite things, which is a crab stuffed poblano chili. So you got the buttery goodness of the crab and cheese and that nice smoky poblano chili. It's fantastic. And then to finish off your meal, get their key lime pie. They make it there in-house, gorgeous buttery graham cracker crust and the thick key lime custard topping. It's perfect.
This could be a high calorie trip.
It doesn't count. You're camping.
Oh, is that your rule?
Because you're water skiing all day long.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wait, do you burn calories off when you water ski? I don't think you do.
For me, it's, oh God, I'm on a bathing suit and I'm 5'10" and I'm standing on the water behind a boat. I better look good. Yeah. Or just make it go really fast. Make it go really fast and people just sit and go, wow, look at her go.
That's right. Do special moves. Now, what else is there to do near Pismo Beach?
In October through February is the big monarch butterfly migration from all around, and they cling to the branches of the eucalyptus trees in these humongous clusters all around. So you can walk the streets and have butterflies around. They have a specific area that they seem to go to, and you can go visit there and, you know, take pictures. Kids have fun. Every once in a while, if you're eating an orange because they're drawn to the citrus smell, you never know, one just might kind of flutter down and land on your hand and, you know, take some of the orange juice right out of that. That's there for you. So that's a good little insider tip. Come with some sliced oranges, sit underneath the trees, and just be still and see what happens.
Anything else we need to do in Pismo Beach before we move on to the other areas around this? Well,
definitely in May, that's when the Vintage Trailer Show is there, and that's fantastic. And it's free. So if you can find a parking spot, then just walk on in and enjoy the eye candy.
All right. So if I drive a little further away, what am I going to find?
About an hour away is a little gem, and it's called Harmony, California. This is a town that only has 18 people living in it.
But, stop.
Yeah, think that one through. And it was for sale a couple years ago, too, and it was purchased, but no one knows what the price really was. And so it was an interesting thing.
Someone purchased the whole town?
The whole town, yes.
And all the people in it?
Well, if they work for them, I don't know. But this used to be a dairy and a creamery that supplied the ranchers that were around there back quite a long time ago. Even the Madonna Inn, Alex Madonna and them, they used the creamery there. So, because it backs up right into San Luis and all of that right there. So this would be the coastal side of it where the Madonna Inn is and the 101 right there. That would be the inland side of the county. So that kind of orients you just a little bit. And they have a world-class glass blower that's there. And the creativity it's unbelievable. And the fact that you can watch this artisan do his job, and then other artisans come in from time to time and they all work there, but you can take classes. So if you've ever wanted to learn how to do it, you can, which is great. There's a beautiful pottery studio, and I've been going there for a long time, and I still have some of the vases that my mom purchased well over 25, 30 years ago. So that's another little great studio that's there, and they have a great little cafe with farm fresh salads and sandwiches. So if you wanted to go play a little bit at the beach and then drive up mid-afternoon, stop there, get your sandwich, and you know, check out the crafts that are there. There's even a wine tasting room right up the hill, so you can have a little glass of wine and enjoy the scenery, and then get back in your car and drive 15 more minutes north and you're in Cambria. And that town, it was deemed one of the prettiest towns in America years ago. And there's art galleries and restaurants and shopping, antique stores. But there's a secret about it. This little town was made famous, absolutely famous, by the horror comedy movie Arachnophobia. Back in 1990, it was filmed there. So
I find nothing funny about the movie Arachnophobia. This is not a horror comedy.
Because you're an arachnophobe.
It's funny to know that my mom's friend's art gallery was actually used in it. So her art gallery was closed down for a little while, and it was made as the mock doctor's office. So that was kind of a fun little gem. If you watch the movie first and then you go to Cambria, you'll still notice it. It all still looks the same. It hasn't changed. It's beautiful. If you go outside of town by about 10 more minutes on Santa Rosa Road is Lynn's Berry Farm. They have been there since the 1970s, and their Alala berry pies are world famous, and you can have them shipped to you frozen, which isn't a problem at all. They overnight it, or you can buy them there fresh right out of the oven and sit on the farm and enjoy eating it right there.
What is an Alala berry?
And a lullaberry is it's a cross between a loganberry and a youngberry. So think about a blackberry that's doubled in size, a little bit sweeter, and just a hint tartar. And it's fantastic. The second you bite into them, and you can eat them cooked or just straight off the vine, which you can do there. You can pick them while you're there. And they just burst in your mouth. It's fantastic. One of my favorite things to do now being an adult is to go get the Alala berries, bring them back to the campsite, put a few in everybody's wine glass, mash them up a little bit, and then pour champagne over it, and then drink that by the campfire.
I have a feeling that Jeremy's going to go online and order one of those frozen pies, like, right now, after we
get off. They're so good. And I have to tell you, this is definitely not a calorie-counting thing. These are traditional lard crusts. So they are flaky. They are beautiful. They are the way a pie crust is supposed to be made.
Now, one of the most well-known coastal California destinations for tourists is in this area too, right?
Yes, very famous, and that would be in San Simeon, and that would be Hearst Castle.
Rosebud. I'm sorry, I can't help myself.
Creepy.
You were waiting to say that.
I just thought of it actually at the last second.
Honest toes.
This used to be a 250,000 acre ranch. And today, now that it's a California state park, it's just a little over 127 acres where it's garden terraced. You have, you know, the giant, it's hard to even tell and explain to anybody who hasn't been there. Gigantic makes it still seem small. There has to be a larger word for it, because this home that was designed at 165 rooms with these two pillaring towers that look like it could have been put on a giant mission that's there, just the way how it all looked, from this Grecian pool that they call the Neptune Pool, where there's all these statues all the way around, and a beautiful black lined pool with marble. It's opulence at its most extreme. I can stand at 5'10", I can stand in the main fireplace in I believe it's the study room, and I still have room over my head.
I mean, the guest houses are practically mini mansions, are they not?
They are. I mean, it's gold inlay, it's marble, it's bronze statues, it's everything that you could imagine the Hearst, William Randolph Hearst, to build, because he could. And he did.
And this is where all the Hollywood stars partied back in
the
1920s, 1930s.
Exactly. And, you know, I would love to know, it would be kind of fun, you know, to go back in time and sit there by the big pools and watch who was there, hear all the gossip, everything. And when you walk those grounds, it's almost like you can feel it. It's still there. That wonder, that excitement. The jewel tone blue indoor pool, it's stunning. You don't see this anymore. And especially on the West Coast, we don't have a lot of that you do on the East Coast, where you have all of the old homes and everything there. It's really rare for us.
Right. And, you know, I have to say that, just to emphasize, we have toured this mansion. And if you are in, even within a couple of hours drive of this, of the Hearst Castle, while you're in California, this is a must do.
I'd say it's easily worth a 2-hour ride. So you're saying this is about an hour and a half from the campground, roughly?
It's about an hour and a half. So, you know, if you wanted to do your ultimate morning, leave the campground, go straight up there first. Right. Tickets are about $25 for adults and about, I think it's $12 for kids. Go there first, do your tours. There's about 4 or 5 different ones. I highly recommend the kitchen one, not just because food is where I am, but really take a look at that kitchen and realize who it fed, what was produced out of it for the size of the complex, and what was done. It's incredible. And to know that that kitchen also fed all of the staff meals too. So, you know, organization at its best, and what was available at that time. Look at the stoves, look at the cooling system, look at all of that. It's really an intricate part. And then definitely please tour the grounds. They are stunning. And the gardens are still maintained as they were. So the roses and the herb gardens and everything. It's unbelievable.
It is a historical experience.
And these are guided tours, too, where you're going to be learning quite a lot, right?
Correct. And the great thing is even if you need some assistance, say that you need a wheelchair or you are in a wheelchair, they have specific tours guided just for that necessity. So you might not be able to climb some stairs, but you'll be able to view other rooms that most of the walking tour doesn't get to. So they really cater to everybody.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for taking us through all of not only the wonderful parts about Lake Lopez Campground, but the region around it, the food, the activities, the tours that we can take, and the sites that we can see in this area. This is obviously a must-stop destination for many Americans, right? As they're RVing through America.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely.
And the campground, it could be a resort-type experience just staying there the whole time, or you could go out and adventure for a whole week in the area.
Exactly. I mean, you know, try it. If you've never water skied before, go try it. You can actually say you've done something, you know, fun and amazing at a lake that's historically been that area's teaching ground for all of us kids.
All right. Thank you so much to Kate from katescuriouskitchen.com. And thank you so much to our sponsor, Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, head on over to jayco.com. Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Oh, and we can't wait to talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
See you at the campground.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.